Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to the study session for the Mesa City Council for Thursday, June 25th, 2009. We'll begin by reviewing the items on next Wednesday's, July 1st, council meeting. Page 2. Oh, I'm sorry. Before we get going, I forgot. Vice Mayor and Councilmember Summers will not be with us, nor will they be calling in today. Apologize for saying that. They're excused. Once again, page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. And page 9. Okay, that was easy. All right, item number 2 is to hear a presentation to discuss the First Amendment to the non-exclusive 2003 cable television renewal license with Coxcom. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Just wanted to let the council know that we've been working with Cox Cable on this amendment for last couple of months, and we want to recommend moving this forward to the council. What this will allow us to do is two things that are, I think, most significant in the amendment. One, it will allow the city of Mesa to increase the percentage rate that is collected from the franchise fee to the standard that has been approved by the legislature, under which most other cities currently collect, which I believe is 5%. And so that will go from 4.5% to 5%. The other item that we are addressing also in this amendment is a deletion of a requirement by the city of Mesa to Cox Cable to maintain a notification system that we had asked to be included in the original agreement, which allows Mesa to provide for emergency notification to residents. That notification has really been superseded by a countywide system that we currently utilize or is utilized throughout the county. We've now not had the need to utilize our existing system, but we've been able to use the larger regional county system. It was an important part of the negotiations when this was originally done, but at this point we've never had to use it, and instead we've used the county system. Also, I think what's important for council to understand is that from Cox Cable's perspective, this system would be very difficult now in our current technologies and their rules that are imposed upon them to continue to operate or to even make available to operate in the future. So we're recommending that really isn't a significant, I mean, it's a deletion from something that was significant, I guess, in the previous negotiations, but that technology, that service is available for us through the county, and we've been able to use it. And we actually, our fire chief sits with the group that kind of oversees and manages that whole system. So we feel comfortable that while that deleting that item, that service in this amendment is significant, we do have the advantage of having the county system. So we're recommending that these amendments move forward. Thank you.
Councilmember Cavanaugh.
Thank you. The other thing, I was part of the negotiations on this a number of years ago, and it was a critical element. But another important thing to remember is the manufacturer of the equipment that is used, that Cox uses currently, I think, does not have the capacity to provide replacement or equipment for them. So the platform really cannot be sustained any longer from a technical standpoint. And the countywide system does provide a system that's relatively equivalent to what our goal, what the city's goal was in terms of local alerts.
Okay. Any other questions? If you'd like to ask a question, you do have a microphone button, Councilmember Richens. You saying something about how you want HD in your home? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, where's the HD Channel 11 channel? Is that the amendment anyway?
That is a scary thought. That's right. Very scary thought. Wow. I wonder what bow ties look like in HD.
I was just thinking.
Were you? Okay. I actually had somebody ask me if I'd lost a bet. It looked that bad, huh? Okay. All right. Thank you. No further questions? Okay. Item number three, hear a presentation discuss the extension of the current franchise with Southwest Gas Corporation. Mr. Brady.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Mayor and Council, this is a franchise agreement that is set to expire in August, and we are negotiating with Southwest Gas. We've been negotiating for quite a while, but we've not finalized the agreement yet. Also, the franchise agreements have to go to a public election for approval by the voters. So what we are planning to do at this time is just extend all of the terms of the existing franchise agreement. We'll continue to negotiate, and then we will have this ready by the election in November 2010. That way we'll avoid having to call a special election as well. So we're simply renewing or extending the terms of the existing franchise agreement.
Ms. Spinner, would you explain basically for those who may not be aware what a franchise agreement with Southwest Gas really does?
Well, the franchise agreement allows Southwest Gas to serve the residents of Mesa with gas service. So under law, it has to be a franchise agreement. So we enter into this agreement, and also by law, it has to be approved by the voters.
And why do we need this franchise agreement with Southwest Gas? I mean,
the right-of-way issue.
Oh, for the right-of-way issue?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mayor. I'm like, for the provision of gas. Yeah. They use our right-of-way.
Gas doesn't grow on trees, Ms. Spinner. Didn't your mother teach you that?
They use our right-of-way.
Okay.
And because of that, the residents.
A lot of people don't understand why we go through this. And Southwest Gas runs their lines through our streets, through our right-of-ways, things like that. And that's why we need the franchise agreement, which allows them the right to go through that. So they can deliver gas.
Thank you, Mayor.
I just want to make sure everyone understands that. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Just a question on timing for the elections. I know next year we have council district races that'll be in the September and November primary, and if the races are decided in September, would there be additional cost to the city to have this as a standalone on the November ballot, or would it be preferable for us to look at placing it on the September ballot?
Councilmember Kavanaugh, we will look to place it on the September ballot if possible, and I'm assuming the agreement will be done by then. But actually, Southwest Gas is required to incur any of the costs of the election. So if we're not able to place it on the September ballot, it would be at the expense of Southwest Gas.
Great, thank
you. Now actually, and I know we're getting into election law here, but actually, and I didn't know this until I actually ran, September is our primary, is not our primary election, but it's our election, and November is a runoff. It's a little bit different than the normal cycle where you have a primary in September and a general election in November. Actually, our regular election will be the September election. It just coincides with the partisan primary election. And then if there needs to be a runoff, November is a runoff. Does that affect when we put it on? Don't we have to go with September? Can we do it either September or November?
Well,
or
again,
it
doesn't matter because we can do a special election. So we can place it on the November ballot if we have to. We obviously don't want to. And
Which won't be a special election because there will be a general election going on. We'll just add it as a line item. Okay. I was just wondering how that worked out with some of these timing things, whether when it comes up, because it will make a difference. I think where we're headed is we may have a fairly busy ballot in 2010.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's why I was wondering. And do we have? Yeah, we'll get into that later. It's too early to talk about that now. Okay, Councilmember Fenter.
You know, I occasionally ask this question, but talking about Magma Gas Company, you know, is there ever a better time to evaluate and look at how we do? And some people might ask out there that I know it's more complicated, why do we operate in Pinell County and give a operating agreement to a whole other company in the city of Mesa? I mean, that's oversimplifying it, I know, but maybe there's a good time to start looking at those questions.
No, Mayor and Councilmember Pinter, we've had those discussions probably at least since I arrived here. I know we've done significant discussions back and forth with Southwest Gas. We've even done to the point where we've done our own assessment evaluations of the value of our system in Magma compared to the value of the system that Southwest has in Mesa, and had those discussions trying to see if there was a way to get to some means of being able to either swap service areas or purchase service areas. And frankly, we've never really been able to get even very close in those discussions. And most recently, Southwest Gas really hasn't expressed a lot of interest in pursuing that. And we've had several discussions. It's always on the table. Every time we come back to the table, it's brought up. But there just really hasn't been an interest. And part of it is you have two very different systems. Down in Magma, you have still growing system, was growing a lot faster before in Pinal County, with a lot of capital costs, new capital cost investment to extend the lines in the distribution systems. There's a significant kind of upfront capital cost that's being incurred there with a growing customer base. In the Mesa system, it's a much older system. It's a fairly much developed out system. It's kind of a maintenance system with an existing established customer base. So there's two kind of very different assessments when you're looking at how to value the two and trying to compare if you're trying to swap or exchange areas, how to get to an evaluation. But we continue to have those discussions. I mean, from an operational standpoint, it would be our preference to keep our employees in Mesa to serve Mesa residents. But at this point, we've not been able to find an exchange that works for either side. And there hasn't been a lot of active discussions recently because of that.
And Councilman Fender brings up a good point, because I get asked the question a lot, whether it's the gas or the electrical utility or other things that we've talked about selling or swapping or changing or whatever. And the question is, you know, why don't you pursue those? Well, we always have an open book. We always look. Usually in a transaction, you need a buyer. So we can say we're going to sell these things or swap them as much as we want, but unless there's a willing buyer who's willing to come in and pay us a rational, reasonable price.
Correct.
But we're always open to those
Absolutely.
Suggestions and act, you know, and sometimes we actively pursue those. But we just have never, it's not like there's a big market for people wanting to buy gas service areas.
Not right now, certainly
not right there. As with electrical, there's not a whole lot of buyers out there.
And every potential buyer or prospect for either one of those utilities is very much aware that the city is open, and we've had dialogues about possible exchanges, sales, whether it's electric or gas. So those are still on the table practically every time we have a discussion. So it's an active discussion, but as the mayor is saying, it hasn't generated a lot of interest from potential buyers at this time.
Well, and we're not willing to give away valuable
no.
assets.
Oh, no, we've invested
assets,
millions of dollars in both of yeah. those, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Item number 4 has been deleted. Item number 5, hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on the Light Rail Stakeholder Advisory Committee.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Jevgeniak, good morning.
Council, we join you this morning. Shea Yoakum, Economic Development Specialist with the Department of Economic Development. And as we get the screen up here on light rail, and you can see by the focus as soon as it's up here, really we're going to talk about the discussion of integration of light rail into downtown. And you might want to, you know, we look at what economic development's role is in the focus on downtown. We consider ourselves a significant partner as we go forward with this. And we're looking for a very active and thriving downtown. And Shay's going to get into some specific things, but I want to make a couple of comments because I really think Light rail is a great public transit tool. It's a great land use tool. But more importantly, in my seat, it's a great economic development tool as well. So our role in the process is going to be threefold. One will be to making sure we're maximizing light rail to the fullest, that overall we're going to provide some coordination. The Economic Development Department is really looking to provide coordination, all the downtown efforts that are going forward, so that, and Shay's going to cover this in some more detail, but really we're trying to eliminate the duplication and maximize our efforts there. I think also very importantly, we're looking to integrate into your strategic goals. And I think that's an important piece. And let me talk about those. Shay, if you hit the next screen for me. And the first one is really regional leadership. And I guess there's some key words I want to focus on. Regional cooperation is the first one. Sustainable and partnerships. And certainly light rail is a regional system that requires a lot of work and cooperation to make the extension a success. But I also think it's important when you look at what Tempe has done and what Phoenix has done and how do we use light rail as a major benefit for downtown Mesa. And then as we look forward to the extension even further to the east, I think it's going to be important to continue the successful model. The other thing is this technology is very environmentally sustainable, which is in your strategic initiative. And it's an excellent opportunity to connect people from all over the valley to downtown Mesa. And third, we see, again, light rail is a very critical economic development tool, which brings me to my favorite council strategic initiative, which is obviously, as it relates to downtown, economic development. A couple of key words here, business-friendly, variety of tools, innovation, redevelopment of vacant areas and older areas, and again, focus on downtown. So integration of light rail in the downtown is a significant economic development tool, and as I stated before, we will play a central role in that coordination effort. We are looking to maximize this economic tool. And I'd like to have Shay describe some of the downtown efforts that Council has seen and will continue to see into the future, and will be a major partner in leading those discussions. Okay.
Good morning, Mayor, Council. This slide is intended to provide a general overview of some of the downtown planning efforts that are either currently underway or we expect to be underway pretty shortly here. All these efforts tie into the strategic initiatives, and they all are central to the community's economic development efforts. The first one here is the downtown visioning exercise, which was being spearheaded by the Downtown Mesa Association. The purpose there to try and re-engage some of the downtown stakeholders and have a discussion about, you know, what do we want to see downtown become? What do we want to see downtown Mesa do, and how is it going to function? The next effort is the downtown activation, which really is an added focus, an added coordination of special events downtown regarding parades and different other special events to get the community back into its downtown. The third one here is downtown development, and that's kind of as it relates to efforts regarding our updating our building codes to help facilitate redevelopment and development in downtown. It's also regards to how we're looking to streamline our development review processes to encourage development. Next one here is transit-oriented design and form. This is part of the zoning code update, which I believe you're all very familiar with. The resounding theme there is flexibility and how we can use flexibility to help encourage development, get creative with our development, and flexibility is a key to that. Next one here is, you know, the Central Main Street area plan, which we anticipate to start off in by early 2010. That'll be spearheaded by the Development and Sustainability Department. Again, the focus there is how do we encourage redevelopment or development in that area, and also balance the existing uses with uses that we see are very appropriate for being adjacent to light rail. And the last one here is light rail downtown integration, which is actually a great transition to the rest of the presentation. which our transportation folks will get into here, but if there's any other questions for Bill and I, we're happy to invite our transportation folks up to finish up the discussion.
Okay. Doesn't sound like there's anything.
Thank you.
Mr. James, Ms. Jody.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Council. We're really excited to be talking about this again this morning, and we really look forward to moving this project forward with an economic development focus, working with our economic development team. We think this is the best way to maximize a significant investment for our community. As you know, back in May, we adopted the alignment, and there's a lot of excitement in the community to get working on these issues and drill down to what is our system going to look, feel, and act and work as. So you also gave us direction to create a stakeholders working group and to get at some of those issues and drill down as we move forward in the process. And that's really what we're going to be talking about here this morning. Really, the purpose, as we see it and we look at your strategic initiative, is to recommend the design criteria that's in support of this big picture economic development and the specific tools that we'll be working with economic development to maximize our investment. Again, this is a major, major investment, and we want to have major, major returns, and we think we can do that working as a team. Some of the key issues as we put the stakeholder advisory committee together that we need to work with the community on is maintaining, developing, keeping, and that cohesive Main Street configuration and design and streetscape, making sure that as we're putting rail in, it's not a barrier north to south, that it works well with all modes of transportation. With pedestrian access, vehicular access, parking, and getting those people into the businesses and employment center. We're going to be looking at station locations specifically within the blocks, the architecture that works and maintains that unique downtown Mesa Main Street. We're going to be looking at the system infrastructure elements, bus rail interface, where do we site our substations to make the rail go, all those issues that come along with designing a rail system. And additionally, we're going to be looking at those aesthetic considerations that are part and parcel of the downtown and the regional rail system. Going on, we know that this is going to be a lot of ongoing coordination within the community. This first stakeholder advisory committee that we're looking to kick off, we want to get started in September, work through spring, to really get at those key design and implementation elements to figure out what are we going to build. Once we figure out what this is going to look like and how we're going to do it, then we will get into some of those construction issues, mitigation plans, business assistance, some of those things in the later phases. So you can see here we've got a three-tiered chart, really shows kind of our environmental assessment work that's going to be continuing, integrating the downtown elements. We'll be working on that through spring. The next phase is really to getting into the preliminary engineering final design. And during that phase, we will be coming out to the community with our public participation program, our reviews with a 30, 69% milestones, coordinating with economic development to make sure that what we're building is maximizing our future development and activity center as the way we want it to be. And finally, with construction, we are anticipating a community or citizens advisory board like we did on the first 20 miles to make sure that the residents have an opportunity to oversee what's happening with construction. We envision a strong business assistance program, and all these things we're going to be working with economic development as well as the other departments in the city to make sure this project is a success and maximizes our economic opportunities. So with that, I'd like to hand over the microphone to Jody Sorrell, who's going to talk about just exactly how our advisory committee is going to be structured and work as we move forward.
Good morning. We're recommending that for this advisory committee, we have one committee for the entire 2.5 miles of the project. That committee as a group will address some of the overall more global issues of the project. And then there are some of the topics that Mike reviewed that are specific to certain areas, and for that we're recommending two subcommittees that we would form to address those issues. One would specifically focus on the downtown area, and the other area would focus on the west of Country Club to Sycamore Drive area. One thing I just want to emphasize and clarify any confusion is this committee has an advisory role. The final and ultimate decision making lies with the city council members as far as the recommendations that come out from this committee. We're looking at a committee of probably around 20 people. We want to have a broad base of participation because I think with a broad base of participation, we get a really good product and good recommendations to bring forward. Invitations are people that will be notified and invited to participate are business and property owners along the alignment, the neighborhood representatives that would be impacted by the alignment, other special interest groups like the Downtown Mesa Association, the Mesa Chamber of Commerce, the Visitors and Convention Bureau, the West Mesa CDC, the arts community, and then other interests that may exist along the line out there. We're going to do recruitment for this committee very similar to how we notify for a public meeting. We're going to post the application on the city's website as well as Metro's website. Throughout the project, we've developed a database of stakeholders, business, property owners, people that have attended public meetings, and we'll send an email notice out to them. We'll do a postcard mailing in the study area and specifically targeting some of the property owners through the assessor's database. We'll do a press release, and then we will canvass Main Street and drop off information at every business from Mesa Drive to Sycamore. So some people may get noticed two or three times, but we want to make sure we cover the area adequately. We are proposing an application process. This will help us get a broad base and find out people's any expertise or experience they may have, as well as just general interest as participating on the committee. Since the city already has a process in place for advisory board membership, we want to follow that again. And so applications will be reviewed and recommendation to the council will be made by the mayor for the council to affirm that committee. And then lastly, we built a lot of momentum. We have a lot of momentum now that we have an alignment when that decision was made in May, and we want to keep that enthusiasm and energy moving forward. So we want to begin recruiting for the advisory committee immediately and recruit through July, possibly the first week in August, put the application packets and all the information together in early August so that in September we can have a committee formed and we can begin meeting and get the project moving forward. And with that, Mike and I can answer any questions you may have.
Mayor, just real quickly, Mike, is it premature to talk about the facilitator, the outside facilitator that might be utilized or...
No, that would be certainly
one of the things. Council is not only one of the things that I think is important in this process, and Mike's going to talk about one resource. Is I think it's important that we also bring in, have access resources outside, experts about how light rail works with downtowns and makes them vibrant. So, and even as we look at the appointment on these committees, while we certainly want to have a strong group representation from those who have businesses or live or, you know, interact here, we may also want to bring in individuals who have from the outside who have experience with the light rail and seeing how it works well in other metropolitan areas. But there's maybe one opportunity already. Mike, you want to just speak about that real quickly?
The city of Mesa, we've been talking with Metro, and we are working to bring in Tad Savinar, who is a nationally known urban designer, who's also worked on the 20-mile system, primarily in developing our art and planning architecture program. One of the things that we're looking for here is Tad brings an experience of many cities of integrating successful, small-scale improvements or design elements that really maximize the benefit for businesses, for retail, for employment, as well as knowing how a rail system is designed, developed, and integrates into the downtowns. So we're excited. We're looking to have TAD facilitate this stakeholder working group as part of the Metro team and bring in some of that outside expertise having worked with over 10 rail systems throughout the country. some of his work up in Portland, Seattle has been well documented in the media as really a national expert in urban design relating to rail and rail integration. So we're really excited about that opportunity, and Tad's actually here in town today and in the audience. If you want to meet him afterwards, he'll be happy to do that as well.
So, and I guess, Mayor and Council, really I think the idea is we bring light rail through this area. The idea is to lift this up to really, make more of a great thing of what we have. And so that light rail doesn't become a difficulty, make things more difficult for pedestrians. I mean, really, you want to enhance the pedestrian experience. You want to encourage the integration with vehicles and buses and bikes. So, we want to be very sensitive to how we do that and with the storefronts and how they all operate. So that's just kind of the feel as we're trying to work for it on this first phase, is developing that vision and that design element going forward first. We know there's going to be a lot of interest trying to get down to the very lowest denominator about construction activity and how that's all going to work. But we want to first establish kind of the larger picture and the vision and how this is going to work, and then work our way to that. So thank you.
Chris, Tad is here if you'd like to. Okay.
No, I like that approach. I think one of the challenges we have is when you immediately go to the dirty, which construction is always the dirty part of it, without an idea of where you're going to end up, it makes that discussion much more difficult. If you can see the vision, can understand it, and buy into it, then the construction is an irritation. It's not a devastation. But you have to have that vision, first of all. So I appreciate the fact that's the process that we're taking. Mike, would you introduce our guest here, and then we have a few questions and comments from council.
Yes, Mayor. This is Mr. Tad Savinar.
I'm still Tad.
Wait. We're missing the drum roll. I mean, are there trumpets or something that go along with this introduction? I thought you were going to say, let's give it up for,
I'm much lower key than that. Thank you, council and mayor. I am from Portland, Oregon, and as Mike said, I've worked on 10 or 12 different fixed rail systems through the country, streetcar, light rail, in about 8 or 9 different cities. My scope with these projects is varies, but in the recent systems I've worked on, I've been in charge of the stakeholder process all the way from engineering through final ribbon cutting. And managed architectural studies of station area plans and transit-oriented development. And most recently, I've developed a program which is getting a lot of attention nationally, which is what I call a block-by-block, or the BBB program, which actually looks at the alignment in 20-foot increments and examines how can this 20 feet be improved. Because oftentimes, light rail systems are designed in plan view looking at a roll map that doesn't really understand or devote attention to the pedestrian experience of walking 20 feet. So this is a toolbox that I've developed that works with existing businesses to improve their storefronts and make improvements to their businesses so they can be attractive to the 30,000 people that will roll by every day, but also to the people that are walking by. And so it becomes a much more focused, doable, achievable, not arm-waving fancy dreams, but actually performing triage on the existing community, helping them through the construction process, and then enhancing the business environment once it's open. It is a challenge. It's not easy. Just one more little soundbite. The project that I'm working on in Portland, Oregon right now is a light rail system that runs 117 block faces through their retail government civic core, the absolute epicenter of Portland. At the beginning of the project, I noted that there were 57 different block faces that could receive improvements. And through my program, we have totaled out at 40 building improvements, a number of those over $1 million. 14 of them are over $300,000, and they range from anything from signage or awning or lighting improvement to redevelopment of the entire block face. And we're looking at a return of $9.10 for in private dollars invested for every single dollar that comes from the City Redevelopment Agency. So it's a very aggressive, hands-on, proactive approach to helping businesses improve themselves and give them a leg up within this environment. I've also done that for City of Seattle and most likely Vancouver, Washington, their alignments as well. So that's always my focus, is helping the people that are there already and getting them through the process and helping to engage the public in a discussion about how the elements within the light rail budget and performance and maintenance requirements can really address your downtown identity and make it feel, rather than an intrusion, an added value to downtown that can be embraced. It's a tall order, but there is a process for it, and it involves the citizen and the agencies in a partnership. Thank
you. Councilmember Higgins. Oh, I thought you had. Councilmember Finter.
Thank you. I realize we're in the conceptual stage. Appreciate that. I'm very supportive of what you're presenting. I hope, just to put out the idea, as you realize, we have Transportation Department, we have Economic Development Department, we'll have Planning, and I know there's been some efforts as far as zoning. This can get pretty complex, and coordination between organizations and groups, and so I know we have a very professional staff that works hard on those things, and I'm sure that's at the top of everybody's mind, hoping that we can anticipate and look for any way to make sure that everybody's, even though they have separate goals, will work together. I'm also, you know, appreciate you having in here. Consultant costs has, in the past in this community, have been kind of a hot button issue, especially now with light rail. So hopefully we can keep that in mind as we look at how this develops out. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Councilmember Richens.
I think I'd add one department to your comment. There's the engineering department. You know, what infrastructure are we going to have to put in place on Main Street during construction if we expect to see five-story, you know, live-work, mixed-use buildings? Do we have the sewer structure and the water and all that stuff? Jack's over here. Narrowing the street, Jack. No, but getting all that in there as well.
It isn't a lot of fun to put down a fresh thing of asphalt and come in 3 months later and tear it up. You know? It seems a lot more enjoyable.
Mayor, we wouldn't know that.
We have no idea what that would feel like. Others, I've seen other communities where they have that. Okay.
I think my comment really is 8 months enough? I'm seeing that the Stakeholder Advisory Committee has approximate dates from September 2009 to April 2010. Is that 8 months enough to accomplish a block-by-block evaluation?
Well, I was actually cheating while you were having your first part of the meeting. I'm starting to develop a work plan that lists the seven or eight different meetings and what can be accomplished. And I'm going to get that work plan and menu to Mike over the weekend. And so we'll see. I think it is achievable. It has to be logical. You never know in the process where something comes up and it becomes a major issue that the citizens want to discuss in depth, and you get pushed back a little bit. But, you know, there's, within a light rail project, there's a lot of stuff you can't touch. And so I try and educate your stakeholder group about, okay, here's all the things that goes into the system, and here are the things that we just don't need to discuss because it's a done deal, you know, from an engineering, safety, maintenance standpoint. And so once you kind of convince your group that, and then say, but here are all the things we can discuss, rather than sometimes in some communities people say at the first meeting, well, we don't want the light rail. Well, that's not an issue with this group, you know.
But we want it on a different street.
Selected. So the hot buttons, I think, should focus on aspirations for what people want this to be, rather than, I don't like it, I want to stop it, do we have to have it? So I think we're ahead of the game in that respect.
Okay. I think I'd encourage taking the latitude to may have a longer time horizon if you need it, because I mean, it doesn't seem like we're too rushed.
Somebody had a comment about consulting fees, so you guys need to, I'm happy to be here for years. But
well, there's... not yeah, just you.
You know what? As long as
everybody,
you
want to fix
fees, so are take your time.
We have a saying in our family that say the moms need to talk, so I think the moms need to talk.
I think the other thing, this one slide here that talks about the light rail stakeholder advisory committee structure, and it takes two subcommittees that kind of breaks down. Is that intended to be like the CAB structure, or is that intended to be the community advisory board structure? Is that after construction? Because when I see that, my first blush is we want to try to integrate West Main Street with downtown as much as possible, and splitting those groups into two, I think, might be counterproductive, because we're trying to integrate them from a code and a design, and, you know, have even the streetscape maybe in the future will look the same. So I'm concerned about splitting downtown and west of Country Club into two different pieces. I'd love to see as much integration as possible.
I think with the one committee, we really want to try to address all the overall issues that we can. But what we want to get across is, if we need a subcommittee for west of Country Club, or we know we need one for downtown, or we need one for any specific issue that comes up, we'll create that and address the issue. On the initial 20-mile, we found that we needed a subcommittee on specific safety issues. So that was created on its own. This is really going to evolve. What we want to let you know is we're going to be flexible. We want to keep it cohesive. We want to have a unified alignment, business group. But if we need those subcommittees for specific issues, we're flexible enough to create those. So that's really the point.
And I think the idea is that there are some unique construction-related issues downtown that don't exist west of Country Club. I mean, be it the pedestrian, be it access to businesses, it's a different issue in downtown than it is the technical side of it.
And even the development opportunities where you have areas that are mostly...
Yeah, the overall concept is the same, but...
But you're right, Dave, there needs to be this common link that pulls them all together, and that's what we're going to focus on first.
The curb to curb is the same, but everything beyond the curb is unique.
Is different block by block. And I mean, even west of Country Club, you have different.
That's correct.
Different things, because the nature of the Main Street is even different.
I think there's a real missed opportunity at Sycamore and Main and Dobson that we just utilitarian put light rail in that area, and we didn't. I don't think fully explored the opportunity.
No, I think you're right. I don't think development other than a park and ride was really a focus. I think utilitarian is good. The park and ride and where we could put it, and where the station was the overriding theme, and we did. I think we did miss a huge opportunity there.
In regards to schedule and cost, I was just tapped on the shoulder by my partner, Mark Sorensen from HDR, who says there is a EA that needs to be completed by April for the federal government. So we do have an end that.
That's one thing people, since construction isn't going to start for literally several years, but the upfront planning, I think, has to take place. And I think, Mr. James, you said it perfectly, we have to decide what we're building, and then all the engineering and planning and approvals now then take a long time, but you've got to decide what you're building and those specifics early on, which is why we're jumping into the game this early. Councilmember Cavanaugh, I think you had a question.
Thank you. As we're in the summer travel season, many members of our community are going to different places throughout the country, and given your experience in working on many, many rail systems, do you have suggestions for community members as they're on their vacations or trips in terms of which communities they may want to look to see good examples of the integration of economic development with light rail systems in their communities? I know you mentioned Portland. Are there others that you would highlight as examples of good economic planning integrated with light rail in downtowns?
Well, certainly I would underscore Portland, not just because I'm there, but because it is the poster child for aspirational planning and economic development associated with rail. San Jose has an interesting system downtown. I don't know the redevelopment strategy that went along with it, but it has a very it's at grade running, and it runs right through the street, and it's extremely accessible to pedestrians and traffic, and really animates the streets and the neighborhoods and the businesses in a very unique way.
Excuse me, is that a light rail or a trolley system?
It's a light rail.
Okay.
It's very interesting. I mean, I'm thinking, how can the downtown station at your main station at Central or wherever really become or Center really become a civic amenity associated with transit, so people can have freedom of movement and really feel like there's no line between the system and the businesses and the arts center and what can happen there. And the San Jose system is like that. And also there's a streetcar stop in Portland at Portland State University where the streetcar actually goes between the buildings on a plaza that's very effective It's a university campus, 30,000 students. You know, we'd all think I was nuts if I suggested to say we're going to run the streetcar through a university campus at grade with no bollards, no chains, no nothing. But it works. So there are places that have really worked very hard to integrate the system actually into the fabric of the environment, which if you can manage the safety issues, is really of benefit.
And I think that's one of the challenges we have, because the perception out there is that light rail creates this gigantic barrier.
Right.
And what we need to do is plan that, no, it's not a barrier, it's an integral part.
Right.
Of what we're trying to accomplish there. And that's going to be one of your biggest, challenges, is helping people to understand that and to buy into that and to plan so that actually comes to fruition.
I think when people get off the train at the Center Street or wherever that station is located, that they should feel they've arrived someplace special. And that's what everyone hopes. There's also a very interesting integrated art program in the Bay Area Embarcadero line that's very good. Really used artists to design shelters, seating, everything. I don't think that's where we're going, because Metro has done a really good job. Shading is critical. It's a health issue. People have to be cool while they're waiting for that train. So it doesn't allow for as much freedom on the station design, but still there are ways in which artists can sit next to architects and actually make places feel unique. So I think each station may have a little different approach because of its adjacent needs, or there may be three or four different approaches. But Portland, San Jose, Seattle did really no TOD work until they got out into the outer areas of Seattle. It's not really applicable to the urban setting and even the country club area.
Dallas,
yeah.
Is Mockingbird still viable?
Yeah. Which one? I haven't been there. Plano, Mark is saying. He can tell you about that.
Okay. All right. Okay.
If anyone comes to Portland, call me. I give tours all the time. So,
the light rail summer tour.
It's kind of cooler out there in August than it is here.
Yeah, yeah. We hear that all the time. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Excited to get this going.
Great.
Thank you. Okay. Councilmember Higgins.
Oh,
you're just next. Reports on meetings or conferences attended. Councilmember Higgins.
No, I just want to, we have a visiting dignitary in the audience this morning. I want to get Charlotte's attention so we get the visiting dignitaries picked. Councilmember. No, sitting next to Charlotte, back there, is Councilmember Mike Oler from Fairfield, Ohio, who is an occasional, he has a condo in my district. So we met at the National League of Cities, and I said, next time you're in Mesa, come on down. And, you know, as politicians, you might want to say something. You have anything to say this morning, council member? If that's okay with you, Mayor.
Or I speak from back here.
You may speak away.
Great. Pleasure to be here. I became a part-time resident. Every 6 weeks I'm out here, so I guess that's not part-time. I chose Mesa because it's a vibrant community. Been here 70 years, as far as I've been out here, so I'm starting to feel free. Love Mason, glad to be here, watching council, and hope to some days down, pick your brain a little bit, some things I want to take back to Ohio. By the way, Fairfield's 20 miles from Cincinnati.
Okay.
Right, so thank you.
Good. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Any other reports? And welcome, by the way. Any other reports? Okay, Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. We have on Tuesday, June 30th, a Public Safety Committee meeting at 9 a.m. And then Wednesday, July 1st, at 9 a.m., we'll have the groundbreaking for Station 218, which is on North Alma School Road. And then that evening, afternoon, we'll have our first council meeting in July. And there will be a study session ahead of that. We have a few items that we need to cover with council. So please look at the start time for that for July 1st. And then our final council meeting before the summer break will be Wednesday, July 8th.
Thank you. So we're having a meeting on July 1st and a study session. We're skipping the study session on July 2nd. Are you still planning on having that?
No, we're going to try. That's why we're going to try to start a little bit earlier on July 1st and try to, we'll review the agenda for the July 8th and cover any study session items we need to, so you don't have to come right back the next day.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Ms. Crocker, any requests to speak from the public?
No requests, Mayor.
Good. Nothing else? Entertain a motion to adjourn. Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much.